Call it the battle over bacon. Republican lawmakers are at odds over a ban on earmarks, also known as pork barrel projects. They're those provisions that this year allowed lawmakers to send about $16 billion back to their home districts. Here's South Carolina Republican Senator and Tea Party supporter Jim DeMint on NBC This Week.
You have over 500 congressmen and senators who think they're there to bring home the bacon. It's kind of to heck with America, just give me the money.
Conservative Republican Senator Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma says if Congress gives up earmarks, the president will get to call all the shots on the budget.
If you eliminate an earmark, it doesn't save a nickel. We would be ceding to the president what we're supposed to be doing.
John Bresnahan is senior congressional correspondent for Politico. John, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Explain first off what Senator Inhofe was saying there. Why does he feel like he'd be giving control, more control, to the president?
What the argument is from earmark supporters is saying this is the legislative branch ceding spending decisions to the executive branch, that Congress would appropriate money, but it wouldn't actually decide where the money goes. And there are folks who say that the balance of power between the branches of government, which is a constant issue here in Washington, that, you know, if you cede that authority to a bureaucrat, a federal bureaucrat, rather than a congressman who can make a decision for his or her district or senator or his or her state, then that they're just giving more power away to an already too powerful executive branch.
As you know, John, some are calling this earmark battle round one between the so-called establishment Republicans and the new wave of Tea Party Republicans. And next week it all comes to a head when the Republican conference votes on an earmark ban. Tell us what's at stake in that vote.
It's going to be a very interesting issue. On Tuesday, the Senate Republicans, 47 of them now, after their victories on Election Day, will be taking up a ban. They'll unilaterally say, our conference, our Senate Republicans have agreed we will not seek any earmarks. Now, it's not enforceable. There's nothing they can do amongst themselves. They can't punish each other directly, but it has a very high symbolic value. And you have Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, who came up through the Appropriations Committee. That's where these earmarks come from. He's very strongly opposed to this. And he's behind the scenes. He's fighting with DeMint over this. And they're both, trying to gear up and whip their friends and allies and to see who wins this.
Mm-hmm. If Republicans vote then in their conference to ban earmarks, as you say, it doesn't hold the weight of law. It's symbolic. But do you think the ban would hold, or might some Republicans break ranks?
I mean, I think they would have to do it. I think the symbolism would be so important that they couldn't ignore it. If they did, I mean, the headlines would kill them. You look at Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah, for instance. He just saw his colleague Robert Bennett of Utah get defeated by a Tea Party Republican in a challenge. This guy on the Appropriations Committee for three terms, for 18 years, he was gone. I mean, somebody like that, somebody in cycle, they are going to alienate a very powerful base of the Republican Party if they were to try to, oppose the ban. It came out, they opposed it, or they sought earmarks. If the ban is accepted, even if there is no ban, it'll be hard for Republicans to do it, because House Republicans are already imposing their own moratorium. So the symbolism is huge. Now, you could theoretically have. You could have a formal retaliation. They could force somebody out of a committee. It happened in 1995 when Republicans, then that revolution, the 1994 revolution, they tried to force a Republican out of the Appropriations Committee because he voted against a balanced budget amendment, and they had a vote on it. So, I mean, the symbolism is huge, and with it comes power. I mean, if the Tea Party is the power in the Republican Party at this moment, so... They are the tail that wags the dog. So if you alienate them, you will get a primary challenge.
In the House, John Boehner, of course, the presumed next Speaker of the House, has pushed for the ban on earmarks. It's likely to pass, as we're saying here, among House Republicans. The president is in favor of the ban, but I'm curious, where do other Democrats stand?
Well, Democrats have trimmed earmarks over the last couple of years. When they came to power in 2006, that before that had been the height of the earmark craze, if you would, under Republicans. It had grown to as many as 16,000 earmarks. Now we're down to about roughly 9,000, so they've eliminated a lot of them. But they haven't instituted a overall ban. Senate Democrats, frankly, they don't care. It's not something they're interested in, and they are still in charge over there, and they're earmarking away. House Democrats, they've limited it, but they haven't gotten rid of it outright. If you look at earmarks, you mentioned in your intro, it's about $16 billion, which is a tremendous amount of money, but we're talking about a federal budget of $3.5 trillion. That's less than half of 1%. The symbolism is huge. The amount of money taken by itself is large, but in terms of the federal budget, it's a drop in the bucket. There has to be other huge structural changes we're going to need in the budget if we're going to ever get back to balancing where we were in the early in this decade.
John, we've heard so much about earmarks, the poster child of all earmarks, that so-called bridge to nowhere, that $190 million bridge in Alaska, that project was ultimately scrapped. But give us some examples briefly of earmarks that have made a real difference in some communities in terms of jobs or economic development.
Well, look at Senator Shelby Richard Shelby in Alabama. He has earmarked hundreds of millions of dollars for North Alabama, which was a economically depressed region, and it has steered defense jobs and other government jobs to that region and made a huge difference. One of the ones the earmark supporters like to bring up is the Predator, the unmanned aerial vehicle. Those were earmarks. The congressman steered money to companies that built these unmanned aerial vehicles, and they of course have become a major focus of U.S. Involvement in Iraq and Afghanistan. I mean, you'll see earmarks. They'll be small. They'll be maybe a parking lot in a congressman's district or a senator's home state. She may get a bridge here or there or something like that. They'll be small. Most of them are not going to be very glamorous. But they will make a difference. And there is a good argument to be made that congressmen and senators should be able to steer money back home to his or her district or his or her state as they've decided, as the citizens of their state, their constituents, have come up to them and said, we need help with this. Now, the abuses are huge. One of the biggest congressional scandals ever was Randy Duke Cunningham. He was using earmarks to steer money to guys who were bribing him. We have another gentleman going to be sentenced next month, a lobbyist. He's going to be sentenced in an earmark-related scandal. The scandals are a lot of money. They're extraordinarily corrupt practices. But, there's arguments both ways on this that, earmarks serve a purpose. They go back to, the 1700s. One of the first things Congress did in 1789 was an earmark. Mm. So it's in the history of the Republic. If you get rid of it, there will be a change in balance of power between the White House and Congress. But, we'll see how it goes.
John, thank you so much. John Bresnahan is senior congressional correspondent for Politico, speaking to us about the battle over earmarks. Back in just a bit, here and now.